Now for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about trust God completely. You know, God is an active, powerful reality in our world. Many people just don't believe this. They think God created the world and the universe, and then he went off on his way to some other galaxy, and we're left alone to survive the best we can. The author of the Psalm 34, the 34th Psalm, that happens to be my favorite psalm, by the way. And any time you're feeling down or discouraged or anything like that, you need to really feel God's presence. Read the 34th Psalm, because it is really good. The 34th Psalm. Well, anyway, the author of the 34th Psalm doesn't believe this. He said in the 4th verse, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. The oppressed look to him and are glad. They will never be disappointed. And the helpless, ever felt helpless? Many times we feel helpless. The helpless call to him and he answers them. And he saves them from all their troubles. And this is really a shocking one. You get down there a little bit farther on and you find his angel guards those who have reverence for the Lord. Imagine that, the angels are guarding those people who have reverence for the Lord. Find out for yourself how good the Lord is. That's a passage, part of the passage of the 34th Psalm. God is an active, powerful reality in our world, and he can and will help all of us, you and me and everybody. Some people say, how, Pastor, how can he do this? I've prayed, and God doesn't seem to answer me. I ask for healing, and he hasn't healed me. I ask for something, and he didn't get it for me. Faith and love are the key to God's answers. Some people just don't believe God will answer their prayers. You know, that's really true. Some people pray and then they think, well, he's not going to answer it. Like the poor lady who prayed for rubber boots for her two boys so that they wouldn't get their feet wet walking to school in the wintertime up in the north country. She prayed asking God for those rubber boots. That night, there was a freeze for the next 2 days. The earth was frozen, and so her boys didn't need the boots, did they? But then a lady gave her two pairs of rubber boots for her boys. Another Christian was told about this story, and he said, I couldn't pray like that. I just couldn't pray like that. And his pastor said, well, why not? And he said, suppose God hadn't sent those rubber boots, then I'd have to believe that there isn't a God. But Jesus says to his disciples and to us, ask and you will receive. Not maybe you'll receive or not, or may, you know, you might receive. But Jesus says, ask and you will receive. We have to understand the way that God works and how to ask God. God created our world with certain basic scientific and social laws, and he works through those laws most of the time. He doesn't like breaking his laws, but he does break them at times. If you live in the north part of the United States, you wouldn't ask God to produce a beautiful rose in the dead of the winter with the snow and the ice covering the ground. Yet, if you take God's laws for growing roses, you build a greenhouse and give the roses the proper heat and light, then we could grow roses right in the middle of the winter. When we ask for something from God, have we fulfilled his laws for prayer and healing, or his prayer for prayers and results? Could we do something to help God's laws to work in our own lives? Faith and love are the basis of God's love, or God's laws. What hinders or prevents God's laws from working in our lives? An article, Your Anger Can Kill You, in the Reader's Digest recently, states that anger can cause stress, heart attacks, ulcers, and other mental and emotional problems. It states, for well over 2,000 years, the world's great religions have taught the virtues of a trusting heart. Now, there's another reason to heed the wisdom of the ages. Scientific evidence indicates that those with trusting hearts will live longer, healthier lives. Hostility and anger can be fatal to you or to me or to anybody in the world. The driving force of hostility and anger is a cynical mistrust of others and of God. What did Jesus say about trusting others? Well, Peter said one time, how many times must I forgive my brother? 7 times? And that would have been a lot of times in the Jewish law. And Jesus answered, no, Peter, not 7 times, but 70 times 7, or forever. In other words, it's up to us to forgive, no matter what. Forgiveness is what God's basic law is, one of God's basic laws for living in harmony in this world of ours. But some people say, because I asked for something and didn't get it, then there is no God. And it's kind of like electricity in a lamp, if you want to think about it. If you turn on a lamp and there's no light, you wouldn't say that there wasn't any electricity. You would say there's something wrong with the bulb or the lamp. Yet, when people pray and then nothing seems to happen, they say there is no God, when in reality, what they need to do is to find out why nothing happens. What causes their short circuit with God? Is it because they don't really believe God will answer their prayer? Is it because they have hate in their heart for someone? As Jesus stated, if you have not forgiven your brother, leave your gift at the altar and make amends with your brother, and then offer your gift to God. And the Lord's Prayer states, forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive our debtors or of those who trespass against us. But one of the greatest problems with prayer, praying and having prayers answered, is because we really don't trust God completely with our lives, our present, or our future lives. We don't relax and place our lives entirely in God's hands. We try to demand that God do this or that to or for us. We try to command God to do our own bidding. Here's an account of a man who learned his lesson, this lesson in his life. Joe Stevenson of Reno, Nevada. Joe Stevenson says, I always believed in God, but my beliefs, who God is and what he can do, have changed over the years. You can believe in God and not know him at all. As a boy, Joe had scarlet fever. And I guess anybody that knows about scarlet fever, no sports, no rough housing. And so he had to begin reading books. He believed in logic and that God was bound by logic and his own natural laws. And he thought of God as a great scientist. He didn't believe in miracles. He thought God wouldn't break his laws in that way. He couldn't believe in a loving, miraculous God. As a man, his logical thinking helped him in his career as a salesman for Bell System. He formulated sales strategies and targets. Other doors seemed closed to him. He felt dry spiritually and empty and anxious. He tried meditation and he tried ESP and he tried all kinds of these other things and nothing seemed to happen. In utter defeat, he turned to God in prayer. God's Spirit answered, "I don't simply want belief that I exist. I want you, your will, your life, your dreams, your goals, and your very being. I want your faith, faith that I am sufficient for all your needs." He said he'd yielded all of his life to God. Just saying you have faith is not the same as having it. Joe said, "In my mind, I still had God in a box, however, and I figured he could only do what he has stated in his laws." Well, his oldest son, Frank, came home from first grade, and he didn't feel well. Stomach flu, I guess. The doctor said nothing was serious, and he gave him some medicine. His son, Frank, didn't get over it. He choked, he vomited more violently. His six-year-old frame was bathed with sweat and racked with convulsions. Joe took Frank to the hospital for tests, and the doctors tested him, and they said there's no problem. And when Joe went to pick up Frank, the doctor said his diagnosis was incorrect. "Your son has terminal kidney disease. But in children, it's possible that they can overcome this. He will have to stay in the hospital." The next morning, the news was worse. Frank's kidneys had failed during the night. X-rays showed Frank's kidneys were so badly infected, no fluid could pass through them. If his kidneys didn't start working within 48 hours, Frank would be dead. Joe and his wife were in shock. All afternoon, Joe sat by Frank's bedside, wiping his damp forehead. The stillness of the room was broken only by the beeps and blips of the machines monitoring little Frank's condition. Specialists would occasionally adjust the few tubes. Joe's pastor came and prayed for Frank. Late that evening, after Frank was asleep, Joe and his wife went home. And their friends were waiting with hot food and words of encouragement. A prayer chain in their church was begun for Frank. Joe's wife showed a spark of hope. The next morning, Joe's wife, hope had ignited into a flame of confidence. And she said, "Last night I turned Frank's life over to God. I feel real peace about what's going to happen. That's God's will is going to be done." God's will? Joe was angry. What kind of God makes little boys sick? He doesn't care. Joe was still mad at God. His wife went to the hospital to stay with her boy. All the next morning he screamed at God, daring him to disprove of his skepticism, trying to goad him into some kind of action. "Who do you think you are?" he shouted. "Why are you doing this to my son? He's only 6 years old. Everybody says you're such a loving God. Why don't you show it?" Joe yelled until he was exhausted. Finally, he went to the hospital, thinking this might be the last time he'd see his son alive. As he drove towards the hospital, Joe felt God's power in his life. He felt God's presence soothing his anger. He heard God's voice in his mind reassuring him and reminding him of his commitment to him, that he had put his trust in him and all of his life in his trust. And that God would take care of him in all circumstances in life. And then he said, and then God said to him through his mind, "Take me out of that box you put me in and let me go to work." Joe parked his car and he sat there quietly for some time. And then he finally closed his eyes and said, "Forgive me, Lord." When he got to Frank's room, he knew what he had to do. Frank's condition was the same. He sent his wife home to get some rest. And then he walked over to Frank's bed. He placed shaking hands on him where he thought the kidneys would be, and he prayed as he never believed he could pray. "God, forgive me for my ego, for trying to make you what I want you to be. If you will, heal my son. And if you won't, that's all right too. I trust you completely. Please do either right now, I pray in Christ's name. Amen." That was all. No lightning flashes, no glows, no surges of emotion like the rest of the wind, rush of the wind. Only the blip, blip, blip of the monitors. He sat calmly in the chair, picked up a magazine, began waiting for God's answer. There was only one difference. For the first time in his life, he knew he was going to get an answer. And Joe said, "Within moments, my eyes were drawn from the magazine, the catheter tube leading from Frank's frail little body. That tube was supposed to drain fluid from his kidneys, but for nearly 2 days it had been perfectly dry, meaning that Frank's kidneys weren't working at all." Then Joe looked closely at the top of the tube. He saw a small drop of clear fluid forming. Ever so slowly it expanded, like a drop of water forming on the head of a leaky faucet, until it became heavy enough to run down the tube and into the collecting jar. Joe says, "It was the most wonderful thing I have ever seen. The hand of God was working. I watched the tube transfixed, fully expecting to see another drop of fluid form. In about 2 minutes it did. Soon the drops were coming regularly, about one a minute. With every drip I could hear God saying to me, 'I am and I care.' When the nurse came in on her regular rounds, she could barely contain her excitement. She said, 'Do you see this? Do you see this?' She shouted, pointing to the jar, 'Do you know that this is more fluid than your son has excreted in the past 48 hours combined?' She rushed off. Within minutes, she was back watching the drops of fluid run down the tube. For half an hour, she watched little Joe with Joe. 'Isn't God good?' she said. Joe nodded. Joe called to his wife. An hour and a half later, the doctor arrived. He took one look and said it was a false alarm because the fluid coming down from the infected kidney would be rust color and not clear. The fluid must have come from someplace else. But Joe said, 'I knew Frank was getting well again.' By the next morning, 500 centimeters of clear fluid had passed into the collector, and it continued as the doctors ran tests on x-rays and x-rays to try to determine its origin. Finally, 2 days later, the doctors said to Joe and his wife, 'I think we've been privileged to witness an act of God. All the x-rays taken in the last 2 days not only show no kidney infection, but they show no sign that there has ever was an infection. It is a definite miracle. And that's why the fluid was clear.'" Joseph, "At last, I fully believed in God, whose love knows no bounds. I have complete trust and faith in God. What has this miracle healing account have to do with you and me this morning right here. The true life account says God will help us in whatever circumstance in life, even terminal kidney disease. The answer Joe had was complete faith and trust in God. We need to make a good friend of God and to spend time with Him in prayer, reading our Bibles, as I suggest, one page a day in the Psalms, one page a day in Proverbs, and one page a day in the New Testament every day. And then we need to continue to pray. And God will open the doors for us, and He will heal and comfort us if we keep trusting and loving and having complete faith in God. And that's up to us. Right now in silent prayer, let's turn our lives over to God. Let's dedicate or rededicate our lives to God in silent prayer. Just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins, and help me and heal me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our lives this morning, we pray. Forgive all of our sins of the past, all our mistakes, and heal us. We all need healing of some kind. Heal us, we pray. Bless us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now for our closing hymn, let us turn in our hymnals to hymn number 404. Let us stand as we sing. Be not dismayed, Father, be kind, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, for all that day. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil and heart that fail, God will take care of you. When dangerous fears your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through everything, all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you.
of you. God will take care of you.
May the peace of God fill your lives with the power of the Holy Spirit and keep you safe from all harm. Hold on to that which is good and let the Spirit increase within you. Be joyful in your life and in all things give thanks to God, for He has called you to a life of faith and He will not fail you. Amen and amen.